Hey guys, Ashley Daniels here to recap another episode of The Real Housewives of New York. It's such a crazy episode tonight called The Biggest Boob, and you'll find out soon. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
The hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Ladies.
Oh my God, love it.
Who has the best boobs in Hollywood of all time? Personally, I think Marilyn Monroe.
Well, Marilyn Monroe did, yes. Who today?
Today?
Ramona's are pretty good, I gotta say.
No? Jessica Simpson's have always been pretty great.
And hers are natural, too. Yeah. Shout out to anybody who has beautiful, voluptuous breasts tonight. And anybody who doesn't.
And to Miss Mom, too.
All are welcome here at the Real Housewives of New York recap. We have a variety of breasts in the room tonight. We'll start with the biggest boob, I'd say. Me, hi, Ashley Daniels. You can tweet me at Ashley Daniels. To my right, we have another small chested lady.
Hi, guys, it's Megan Stecker, and you can tweet me at Megan Stecker.
Hey, everyone, I am Lindsay Wegner, and you can tweet me at Lindsay Wegner.
Fern Rone here, and I love my boobs, and you can tweet me.
That's how I'll get all readers for my book.
Yes.
Boobs Fern Rone.
Boobs Fern Rone. Hashtag boobs Fern Rone tonight, and we will check that later. We will look into that. I guess the real question is tonight, for anybody who hasn't watched yet and you're listening to us, please listen. Please watch, then listen. But if you're just going to come to us first, you're missing out on a lot. I want to know, to everybody who's watched, who is the biggest boob, in your opinion, tonight on the show? God, that was a tongue twister.
John.
I don't know. I'm teetering on the edge of maybe saying Bethany.
Really? Ooh, I love a difference in opinion.
Yeah.
I would even go Jules, too.
Ooh, yeah.
See, I would categorize a boob as someone who has two heads. Someone who says one thing to one person, another thing to another person. So if it's that person, I feel like it was probably... I want to say, maybe Ramona a little bit, just because Ramona, you know, said last week that she wanted to talk about what John said. She had so much time to think about it, and then she did it. I'm like, come on, Ramona, you're a really good friend a lot of times. Like, why did you do that? But I mean, I don't know, John was a big boob tonight. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a tie.
Ramona was a boob too, though, because then she was like, I'm sorry, bye.
Yeah, walked right out. Yeah, I got a lot of boobs tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, before we get into that, and we already kind of did, but let's give us a little background to this experience. So last week, you know, Dorinda had a bra party, and during that party, there was some, you know, weird things that were said about the Carol being skinny and about Jules being skinny, and just a lot of weird things going on. And then there was obviously Bethany and Dorinda and this whole discussion about John. And then, you know, we got teased last week and it happened this week. John walks in. So in the middle of Bethany and Dorinda discussing that Dorinda shouldn't be mad at Ramona, according to Bethany, she doesn't think that Ramona deserves to be mad at by Dorinda. You know, at that point, basically, Ramona has left, and they sit down to discuss more, and then John walks in. And we knew John was going to walk in because he called Dorinda and started screaming that, you know, these bees, I don't want to say that, these bees are saying things about me, and Dorinda hangs up, and Bethany hears enough. And that was kind of like, I feel like Bethany prepared herself at that point. Mm-hmm. For what was about to happen. What do you guys think about the fact that John did come upstairs?
Well, Ramona did her drive-by shooting, according to Dorinda.
Yeah.
So I think Dorinda was already on edge because of that. And then John coming in to a women's party. It's a bra party. It's not only just the women hanging out. It's a bra party, which is something intimate. I think that left all the women slightly frustrated as well. Like, why are you here? And then he didn't listen to Dorinda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said, you need to go. You need to leave. This isn't your... Like, if you really respect her, then go.
That's a really good point, because Ramona was gone. So Ramona did apologize in her own way, and Bethany tried to coach her a little bit beforehand, but Ramona did the drive-by apology. Do you think if Ramona were to have stayed, that John would have attacked her as much as he attacked Bethany?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think he knew what happened through, I don't know if it Sabrina. Was that woman.
I think it's Sabrina, because they said her, they like said her name, John and Dorinda's friend, and they like called it a rat,
yeah,
and they panned to her, and then I think it was her.
Yeah. So I think that both of their names were probably mentioned to him, and that he showed up feeling good, ready to unload on whoever's name had been mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came in like a bull. Like, I think the way he came in was all wrong. Like a bull, drunk, ready to fight whoever was there. And that's just how he is. I don't think he's the type that would have come in calm and been like, hope you ladies had a nice time. I'm going to take my lady home.
I really don't think he came in too insane. I think he came in and he was trying to delicately, like, go into, why are you here talking smack to Dorinda? What do you have to say? Say it to my face then. I think it was going to be that kind of a conversation.
Interesting.
But Bethany immediately started with, I can't take you serious with that scarf. Take it off. It's like,
and
she
said
was
you
wearing
were lit up.
Yeah. And then it was immediately like, here, let's do some lines. We're going to blow some rails. Like, just antagonizing him to get angry immediately.
Right.
Yeah, she didn't need to go there.
That's true.
So
now, do you think that Bethany did that because she foresaw that he was going to attack her and she wanted to make sure he knew, like, hey, buddy, like, just so you know, I'm in charge here. Like, you're not going to mess with me.
Yeah, and I think it also stemmed from she has seen him inebriated. She doesn't like how he acts when he's inebriated. So she immediately was just going to call it out that he was not sober and she was not going to talk it out with him. But she did not do it in a nice way.
I think, though, there must be some sort of issue with the cocaine thing,
yes,
because she said, she goes, this is, and she looks at Dorinda, she goes, this is an issue.
Yes.
And made this comment about doing the rails and getting some coke. So I feel like this is a problem they've discussed. Maybe her and Dorinda have discussed in private before. And she's like, look it. He's on something. He's doing it right now. Look it. I literally had to do nothing and he's.
She brought up again later when she said, when she was recapping it to Ramona or Carol, one of them, she said that he was doing lines, that she mentioned that as well. So she'd said the word lines twice. I didn't see, I mean, I didn't see a lot of sweat on him. He had a scarf on. I feel like if you're sniffing lines, I would think, I've never done it, but I know that for what I hear, you sweat. He didn't look too sweaty, but he looked really like wild up and his eyes.
He was wired and he was very, very jumpy and very like agitated, and if somebody's drinking a lot, because I bartend, I see a lot of people coming in doing cocaine and watching the signs, and you literally recognize people, and I don't even react to it anymore because I'm so used to seeing it in Hollywood. But I'm not a professional to say whether he was on it or not, but I also know somebody that's drinking a lot, they will do lines of coke so they can continue to drink.
Right.
So if he was out having drinks beforehand and was going to go out with Dorinda and have dinner and drink more, that would explain it. It would also mean that he would be able to take Dorinda home and be intimate with her as well, because it would keep him going.
In the past 2 weeks when she's always like, they like to party, and she kept referencing the Hamptons where they were really messed up and they needed to be carried
Bethany
out of the house.
Was referencing, yes.
Right. I think that's what she meant, is that the cocaine.
Was
she
the kept, partying.
Yeah.
See, I didn't even pick up on that till you guys said that, to be honest. I thought she was just kind of saying it, but it makes a lot of sense that it's more than drinking.
Right.
There's so much. This is so complex. There's so many
You're
questions
right.
I have. I guess my first one is, do you guys think it was, do you think it was right that Jules said almost nothing, but then she's like, I love you, John. I heard her yell, I love you, John. And I was like, in the middle of him attacking Bethany, she's like, I love you, John. I know she was, maybe she was trying to calm him down.
Yeah.
And be like, we're not all enemies, calm down. That's my only guess, because she did try to clean it up when she got outside with him. But how did you think she reacted to this entire thing? Because she does know him, and in a sense, she could have probably stepped in a little more than that.
I thought she did a good job, because it's definitely a delicate, weird situation to be around your girlfriend in a fight with her boyfriend. I think we've all seen that probably with someone, and it's the most awkward thing. And it's like, do you step in and say something? Do you not? You don't want the girlfriend to attack you about it. And I think she was doing the best she could. And she kept saying, somebody has to be calm. And she kept trying to physically push Dorinda and John away from each other, which I thought was good. And just kind of, like, get John out the door. Mm-hmm. And then telling him in the hallway, like, just be calm. Just go downstairs. Like, just go away. Let's diffuse. I thought that she gave the best advice that she could in that situation.
Yeah. I can see what you're saying. Do you think that – I felt like in the midst of John attacking Bethany about skinny cow, skinny girl, he was saying that she took the name. Do you think he's threatened by her in how successful she is?
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
100%. I think he's like – not that there's anything wrong with being a dry cleaner. It's perfectly respectable business, and he's apparently extremely successful. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't matter if he was a billionaire. He's threatened by this woman who started something from scratch, sold it for $100 million. Mm-hmm. He's threatened by her confidence. He's threatened by a lot of things.
Yeah, right.
It's so obvious to me.
Absolutely.
And I feel like Dorinda – is the type of woman that goes home and tells John the things that the women say about him, which I feel like gives him ammo to come back to the women and kind of be against them. I agree with you, Fern. I think he's totally threatened by Bethany. But then to make matters worse, he will just attack because he knows that she said stuff about him.
Yes, because I think he's still pissed from the brunch, because didn't she say something in front of everyone about how drunk they were in the Hamptons at brunch? I think he's still pissed about that.
I feel like as a man, he feels like he can't be as macho around her, like you said, Fern, because of the company. Like, because he always tries to bring up the dry cleaning all the time. I think he's trying to prove that he has a legitimate business and he's really successful. And then you see her, and the only thing he can really attack her for is her failed relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or that she stole name from someone else.
Mm-hmm. But she proved, and this was what I loved
genius
about Bethany.
Oh,
you know, I don't always love the things that Bethany says, and I think sometimes she takes it too far, and she definitely like pushed him to get him on edge and antagonized him. But she literally shut down anything that he could have said about how skinny cow was, you know, skinny girl was based off of skinny cow. She literally shut everything down. She's like, I'm friends with them. This is part of Nestle. And she like literally like bullet pointed. And I was like, yep. Snaps.
And right after that, he comes back and says, how about we call Sam? I guess Sam's the guy that's skinny guy. He didn't even stop there. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that enough to make you think, like, I thought he was going to get that guy on the phone, to be honest.
Right. I think, like Fern said, he's so macho, and he can't handle that a woman has such brass balls. And she loves to go right for the jugular always. Like, with everyone, it's always 20 questions and pushing the wrong buttons to get them fired up. And
exactly.
He can't deal.
And if he were confident, it wouldn't bother him. He would just be, this would have never happened. There would be no scene. He would have been calm about it.
Right. And it shows you, he went from trying to get her number to like maybe work with her, whatever it was, to attacking her business. He's so infatuated with the fact that she's super successful without a man. Mm-hmm. And I just think it just bothers him. So that's, instead of him coming in and just talking about the situation at hand, which is like, you're talking about me, why are you talking about me? He goes and attacks her for the business. You okay?
Yep. Just fixing my contact. Okay. You guys keep talking.
Oh, poor thing.
This happened last year.
Lindsay's crying. This has really upset her. Okay, while she fixes that, well, what else do you guys think about in terms of Jules running after him and then getting him downstairs and saying, you know, your personality, not a lot of people get it. I thought it was, at that point, I thought she was being really smart because she was trying to level him out. Mm-hmm. How do you think she handled that?
I thought that was perfect. Yeah, she was completely trying to diffuse and throwing him a compliment, kind of like sideways compliment, you know? And she was exactly right. This is the time that she seemed the most intelligent and to make the most sense to me, because it's the kind of editing her into like the dits.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she made the most sense, and this was the most intelligent way to handle the conflict, I felt.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that was the most messed up situation. I don't know how Bethany and him are ever going to... Bethany and John will be in a room together again. I mean, we do see that may happen next week, but crazy.
How do we gloss over Dorinda just forgiving him? It's like, we go from...
Well, she didn't.
She didn't at that point.
She didn't at that point.
Well, meaning like...
How is she still with
him? We flash forward to, like, nothing being wrong when she was screaming, I'll never be with you again! And I thought for sure there'd be at least some time apart before they got back together, because I guess...
Did you really think that?
Yeah, because I guess, like, in real life right now, via her social media, it seems like they're still together. Yeah, I thought, like, there would have been a breakup then for a short period of time. And I guess there wasn't at all.
I wonder if, after watching this, she feels different seeing it play out. You know, I don't know.
I hope she can reevaluate that and go back and look at the way that he's spoke to Bethany, because I do think mm-hmm. that what he said, even if Bethany antagonized him, even if she did, which she did, you do not respond that way.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
It's such a deal breaker. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, and everybody loves, like, she loves him. I get it. But to not even have, like, a conversation and to completely just take his side 100% mm-hmm. and to make the comments she said at the end of the show, which we'll get to later, but blow my mind.
Well, does anybody think that, like, Bethany's wrong and Dorinda's right in this situation? I do.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I don't think Bethany should have brought that up in front of everyone and made it a big... when she started about John last week.
Yes.
And, sure. And I don't know why she's so focused on Ramona, because Ramona and her are real life friends and have been for 20 years. She's like only mad at Ramona, which doesn't make any sense to me. And it's like, okay, Bethany doesn't like your boyfriend. Bethany could have told you that privately. And Bethany's the one that brought it up in front of everyone. And it's also like Bethany started this whole thing. So it's Bethany's fault John showed up in the first place to confront her. And Dorinda is right. It is her life. And I understand that Bethany is worried for her, but it could have been a private conversation. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it is Dorinda's prerogative to be with this man. She won't stop saying, like, I choose what mm-hmm. I want to do. I don't know. I feel for Dorinda in this situation.
But if your man did that to one of your girlfriends,
I mean, I would have acted just like Dorinda. In the moment, I'm so she did stick up for out of here.
Absolutely. Yeah. She did step up at that point. Right. She obviously later will see that she doesn't really remember to apologize. Mm-hmm. But I understand what you're saying. I think to answer the first question, you know, she was more upset at Ramona because at the end of the day, I don't think Dorinda really loves Bethany. They're not that close. So I don't think she really cares what she thinks. I think she also thinks she's pretty critical mm-hmm. in general, because she's just that type of person. She's just analyzes a lot of things, and she's just very like, what you see is what you get. But Ramona's always been her friend. Like she mentioned, Ramona was at the wake and the funeral, fourth mm-hmm. row for her husband's death. And like, I think it was like, wow, like I can expect this. I signed up for the Housewives, but you and I have been friends 20 years. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't take me aside. It's like, imagine your best friend and you starting a reality show, being on a show together, and then they did that to you. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could ever look at them again. So,
well, and she said something personal.
Yeah.
Which
really personal.
It, which, I mean, something that, like we all say, all of them can talk about this behind closed doors, but then we wouldn't have the show, and we wouldn't be super excited to see the show and to see Bethany call out John. And
mm-hmm. Do you think that's why Bethany was so adamant about Dorinda not being upset with Ramona? Because Bethany felt a little bit guilty because she had a conversation prior, and they both discussed what they were going to say, in a mm-hmm. sense? I mean... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a difficult situation, and I did think for sure that Dorinda was going to go back to John. I actually thought that. But in the moment, I liked that she was stepping up, because she was like, wow, but it's how quickly she forgets. It's like they wash it out of their heads. They just are able to like shampoo and condition it out of their brains, I guess. It's crazy. So Carol and Bethany, the next day, they have a phone call, and they, you know, Bethany's telling Carol what happened the night before, but she's like, we'll get into it when I see you. And then they talk about Luann coming to Bethany's party, and Carol's like, I don't want to tell you who to invite, but, like, I would rather not be in the same room with her. But Bethany's like, I can assure you there's so much crap that just went on, like, you're not going to suck up any mm-hmm. drama. Not much to talk about there, just a quick conversation. If you guys have anything to bring up.
I mean, I feel like Carol shouldn't feel like Bethany shouldn't be friends with Luann, but I totally understand it. I would feel the same way. I expect 100% loyalty. This person mm-hmm. was awful to me. You shouldn't be friends with them anymore.
Yeah. I mean, would you expect that even if you were in Carol's shoes, where you're stepping in after they had already been friends?
Yeah, because I don't think they're that good friends. I think Carol and Bethany seem so much closer than Bethany mm-hmm. and Luann ever were.
Yeah. I mean, Bethany was saying a lot of not that nice stuff about Luann in the first couple episodes. So I think it's like she and Carol are real friends. I feel bad for Carol in this situation, because I feel like I'm a Carol, where I don't want to step into a situation with a person I have beef with, because I'm just going to be so pent up and nervous about it and not want to have a confrontation with them. Because it seems like Luann's such a more aggressive mm-hmm. personality than Carol. And I feel like I'm a Carol, where I'm like, oh, I don't want them to come talk to me about this. And she's probably having that, you know, stomach deep in her, mm-hmm. or the feeling anxiety deep in your stomach, you know, where you're like, oh, God.
Do you think that's why Bethany and Carol get along so well? Because they're so opposite?
Maybe.
They balance each other out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's it's interesting seeing them together. We saw the first hug they had last season, and I mean it was last season at the furniture store, and like from there on they kind of fell in love. And
oh, I loved that scene.
That's so cute.
Bethany cried. Yeah. I loved that.
Carol
was like, "I'm not a hugger," and she gave her like the napkin from the store.
I think Bethany to be really attracted to somebody like that, I just feel like it's a certain special someone because I have never seen her that close to anybody from the shows. And she definitely doesn't appreciate anybody that just has word vomit. And that leads us to our next scene. Oh, actually, well, we could talk about the next scene. Well, Luann and Sonia, they meet up with Anne, the real estate agent, who was a blast from the past, Luann's former roommate 20 years ago. Did she say 20 years ago? I think it was about 30 years ago. Okay. I was trying to make them a little younger. And the first place they looked at is Upper East Side, $9,000 a month, beautiful views. Our own Fern Ronay here is a New Yorker, so she can attest to the expensive real estate in New York.
I can attest to that. I never owned an apartment, though.
I was renting.
In the city. I was always renting,
Renting. But $9,000 a month. The other place she was looking at, $22,000 a month in downtown.
Oh, my God.
Insane. And she doesn't want to rent. She doesn't want to buy because she feels like her options are open. And what do you guys think about that, renting versus buying for her? She's like, maybe I'll be in California. I could love again, you know.
I think it's a good idea for her.
Yeah.
She's keeping the options open.
Do you think she's going to find love this season?
I'm a buyer. I say she should buy a house. I mean, when you're renting, you're basically throwing an at $22,000 a month. That's a house payment, a major house payment. That's like paying off like an eighth of your house in the Midwest.
Right.
Right there. So for me, I would say they have the money to buy something and own something. And even if she's not using it, like do real estate then, like rent it out. Or if you have an apartment or something like that and you're making money off of it and then you want to buy a house in California. You can own both. I mean, look at Bethany. She's got houses everywhere.
Do you think she really has enough money?
That's the what I'm
Countess?
Thinking.
I feel like
I
she
think
does.
She's never going to rent an apartment for $22,000 or $9,000. Right. That was just for the show.
No.
And she's probably not even going to.
Do you think she doesn't have the money?
I think so.
That's what I think. Like, why would you give up your apartment in this city?
Because,
she's like, oh, my kids are away. Well, so what? So
no
like,
more child support, right? Because they're over 18.
Right.
So what is she getting? She probably got whatever she
alimony
got.
Alimony or nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she can't be making too much. She wouldn't be staying with Sonia.
But didn't she get the house initially?
She got the Hamptons house.
And then she sold it and got something smaller.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she sold the apartment for money to live off of.
Maybe. I don't know how much a count makes or has anyway, so it's tough to tell. Like, we know Carol, as of last week, we read she's like worth $50 million or something crazy like that.
Could you imagine?
I can't imagine.
Wait, Fern, I just want to know, like, where did you keep your shoes in your small apartments? Because I thought it was funny she said the oven, because I've heard of that.
Did you do that?
No, I didn't keep sweaters in my oven and keep shoes in my oven. I just, like, I had a closet, and then I had, like, two extra, like, I had a studio, and then I had two extra IKEA closets, and I had stuff under my bed. You improvise.
I improvise. I have one small closet, and that's it. Not one other closet, not one other anything. So everything is thrown in, like, my kitchen cabinets. Like,
I
went from, like, having a house, you know, to living in L.A. And, like, so I get the whole New York. I feel like I would fit right in at this point. I don't even know where half my stuff is. It's, like, you can't see it, but it's somewhere. It's tucked somewhere.
I always say I didn't even have a full kitchen. I had a half of a refrigerator.
Oh, my God.
For 6 years.
You did?
So I didn't even miss it. Like, in New York, you just, I don't know. You just go out every day.
Yeah, you just, yeah. Oh, I want to live there someday. This is crazy. I feel like Luann did this for the cameras, but I want to know what you guys think. She starts talking about a story that she and Anne had, you know, years ago. Luann took one or two Italian men home.
Two
Italian men home to her apartment, and Anne was like, that's totally inappropriate. Like, you can't be doing that. And then Sony's like, that happened once or twice or something in Turks and Caicos. And I'm like, she knows that she's totally doing that, right, guys? Like, I mean, I don't know. Is she just coincidentally saying a story where it just happened again last year, or is she doing it for the cameras?
It seemed for the cameras because it was so obvious.
She was mugging.
Yeah. And it's weird because I think she's trying to embrace the, like, not being the Countess anymore. Ah. Remember how Bethany kept kind of smack-talking her last year?
But I don't think it's cool to be making out with a married man.
Right.
And she shouldn't be, like, she shouldn't be happy or think that that was a cool thing. Because that's, in my opinion, uncool.
I agree. She's definitely not embracing the Countess name anymore like she used to be. I mean, if you watch season one, just for fun.
Oh, my. Just putting on airs. I mean, that.
But who's the real Luann?
That is the question for the night. Hashtag AfterBuzz.
She's a nurse, right? Isn't she a nurse from upstate New York?
Was.
Right? Isn't that her background?
I don't know. You know, she was a model, though, very young, right?
Yeah.
Who is and then the a nurse?
Oh, I don't know.
Who's the real
Is that the question for the night?
I think that's
Okay, it's a question for the night. You can let us know on Twitter.
Or who's the biggest boob.
Or who's the biggest boob. Or both. Let us know. Oh, my God. I can't. It was hashtag ABTVRHONY. It? Or is it the opposite?
Yes. Okay, I always forget. Rony.
I've got a little bit of dyslexia once in a while. Sadly. So then we have Bethany. This is crazy. So Bethany's at her skinny girl office and she's looking over a divorce bill for $32,000, which I felt like was for the camera a little bit. You don't just
Right.
Here's a $32,000 bill for my divorce. I think that was definitely not something she just walked in and saw her bill like that.
Right.
It
would be. That's very personal.
Very personal. But I understand where she's coming from. She probably wants to let everybody know, like, this is the shit I'm being dragged through. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Like, I just did my taxes, and to hear that number, I was almost passed out. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, that's pretty much what I made last year.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Reality Jeez. Check for us. And Ramona shows up and says that Dorinda's very sad about their fight. And she's almost in tears. She's going through the text. And she's like, this is so sad. She's heartbroken. And, you know, Ramona regrets. She says she regrets what she said. But then Bethany says, you know, Ramona, you shouldn't. Like, what John did afterward, you don't even know. Like, you shouldn't regret what you said. And then she explains why. Because John went, like, mental on her. And, you know, basically acts it out for her. And says, listen, let's just call Jules. I want you, you know, Jules confuses me a little bit, but let's call Jules and, like, let's hear it from her as well. And I can't even recap this for you guys. Please, like, watch it because it was, like, it was perfectly state. It was, like, incredible. She's like, hey, Jules, it's Bethany. On a scale of 1 to 10, how crazy was John? And she's like, on a, like, out of what? Like, what do you mean? And she's like, and she's explaining it. And I'm just like, I was like, this poor girl. Like, well, she's just in it now.
Here stuck. We had Bethany yet again pulling her typical, like, she's just trying to, like, get in there and needle it and, like, start a little bit of drama, which Bethany is great at. But Jules kind of shut it down. And so Bethany, because Jules was shutting it down, kind of is making fun of her. Even though, I mean, the girl doesn't seem like the sharpest tool in the shed. But, I mean, she just didn't want to get in the middle of it. This is John. This is she just didn't want to be put in the middle.
Right.
Exactly. At first, I was like, pay attention and answer the question.
I know.
Pay
what attention, was that?
Please.
Yeah, really, please. What was that? But what was the hesitancy? Was it that she was afraid that maybe she was on camera?
Exactly.
Yes. At first, I was so annoyed with her, and then I realized she was doing it to not get involved. Right. And she has a loyalty to Dorinda, which I totally respect.
Right. Yeah. And then Ramona throws out 8. She's like, yeah, 8. And I'm like, what?
No, I really liked Jules in this moment. I think I'm liking her more and more, which is weird because I feel like they're trying to edit her into a, like, a not so likable person.
And you loved, weren't you Team Kristen last year? A little bit,
and like I was like diehard Bethany, and this year I'm just like she's so much. I'm like, oh my, I've been like diehard Bethany for 8 years, and now I'm like, okay, I need a Xanax. Like,
yeah,
but no, I thought it was so honorable of her to be like, I'm not going to get involved with this and go down to, like, the schoolgirl level and, like, talk smack behind and be like, yes, it was so bad. I was so scared. It was terrifying. Like, she was like, no, whatever. John was upset because you were talking smack and I don't really want to talk about it and be pulled into this.
Okay. So other than Erica Jean or Erica Girardi from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, who has got away this entire season with not getting into arguments and almost being the voice of reason and definitely, in my opinion, will be back next season and lives a fabulous life and it was super entertaining. How many other housewives can do that where they can just say, I don't want to be involved in that stuff, and they can stay fair throughout the season and remain relevant and interesting? Can she pull this off and not say anything and be like that voice of reason and not
She's
step
not gonna
in?
Be on next season, no, then. Yeah.
But it's very rare.
It's rare. Like, Erica has a different personality, so she can do that.
But she's likable.
She's likable. Jules is—it's iffy with her, so it's tough to hear her be hesitant because it's like, well, at least have an opinion and say your opinion.
Perhaps the producers are pushing that onto her because she didn't really give anything this season. you know? So as they're going back and watching the season over and realizing she's not really adding anything to this, well, what can we make her look like? What can we turn her into the bad person that everybody hates, mm-hmm. and try and create some sort of drama from it, which is very, very possible.
Well, and it's so early, and I think a brand mm-hmm. new housewife doesn't really know how to act, or else they come in full force and try mm-hmm. to pull all the tricks they've seen everyone else mm-hmm. do. So I think she's doing a good job of just staying in her lane and being herself right now, mm-hmm. but it's so early. It's like, we don't know her. So it's weird.
I mean, yeah. Bethany did say at one point, but as a woman, don't you think that was wrong that he stepped in and started, you know, yelling at me mm-hmm. and talking about my business? And she's like, and she wanted nothing to do with mm-hmm. that either. So let's see how she acts in the future. I mean, I don't know. Maybe her loyalty lies to John and Dorinda. At the end mm-hmm. of the day, I believe it was Ramona and Dorinda that knew Jules mm-hmm. prior. So maybe she just feels like there's a loyalty thing there.
Right, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. No. She's basically saying, like, I don't really know you guys. I'm not going to be drug into this.
Yeah,
and, like, Dorinda and John are my friends that I hang out with my husband, so shutting it down.
Yeah. Then I think in the end of the day, it's like Bethany probably knew that a little bit going into the phone call, because Bethany's so smart. Mm-hmm. And if she heard her the night before saying, I love you, John, I don't think she's going to think he's going to throw her under the bus. So she's sure. going to throw him under the bus. So.
Like, I didn't like that she was like, she's a special woman with a special...
Special needs.
That was really out of line.
I couldn't believe she said that. That's not PC,
which I expect a lot of stuff out of her mouth, but stuff that was from, like...
I wonder if she's getting anything from Twitter right now.
Probably. Let me check.
You know, the word mm-hmm. special needs, that's a tough one to throw that out. So then, let's see. So we have Jules. So that was on the phone, and then we have
her with the sour.
Oh wait, Jules driving to the Hamptons with her husband, and the conversation she has about bringing kids with her. She's like, I can't leave the house without Sour Patch Kids. I just can't. And she's like negotiating with her son again. I mean, she's gonna get so much crap for this. Maybe he just loves Sour Patch Kids, and maybe she's just talking about what he loves, and maybe they edited it, or maybe she's just the way that they portray her. But either or. Funny scene. I laughed. We all laughed so hard mm-hmm. watching that.
Oh, I raised eyebrows.
You raised eyebrows too. But so what do you think about that in terms of her being so open about that, Lindsay? Because, you know, you're our most honest one here. So
I'll be honest about this. I think that giving kids candy at that age and negotiating with them for the candy and allowing it and not having the, you're the parent. Don't let the kids be the parent. I know I'm not a mom. I know it. I know I am not a mother and I don't have any children.
She knows it.
But I know darn well that my mother and father would not have allowed me at that age to run the household. And darn well if I did, I would have either had my mouth washed out with soap or I would have had a little smack on the butt or would have been told to go to my room at 4.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think I turned out just fine. I haven't been to jail.
I don't have any, like... I turned out just fine. I haven't killed anyone.
No misdemeanors. Graduated college with honors. Like, support myself. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a fairly upstanding citizen here. That just because my parents, you know, had some rules and discipline, I mean, but it's not my place to judge. And maybe these kids are going to turn out amazing. But I would not, for me... I would not allow chocolate milk and Sour Patch Kids and
okay,
all of
so
this
you strongly
candy
disagree.
To rule the household and let the kids be deciding okay. that that's what they need in life.
Are we hearing anything
upon Twitter investigation, people are not happy that Bethany... She hasn't addressed anyone back that wrote anything, but a lot of people are like, wow, not cool. And people are tweeting Andy saying, you should address it tonight.
Tough. See, that's tough because it's like every word you say, she probably doesn't even remember she said that one word.
Right.
But that's something that's socially known, that when people say, I call it the R word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When they say, do I say it?
What R word?
Oh,
they
no, yeah,
say
yeah, yeah.
Mentally challenged or mentally handicapped, say that. But then somebody uses, I call that derogatory when you mm-hmm. say the R word. And I've called people out before, and I said, I work with special needs children, and they're really, really intelligent. And the fact that you just said that makes you look
unintelligent. There's so many words that you've heard in high school when you were younger, and like that people would say that like you got accustomed to hearing, and then you realize when you're on camera, there are certain words that like you have to train yourself. Mm-hmm. That can never come out of your mouth. Like even if it's just like she did, she probably just said it. It was, wasn't mm-hmm. think she wasn't trying to be, you know.
There are a couple words that you should not say. The R word, the F word, when referring to someone as being gay.
Mm-hmm.
And the N-word.
Mm-hmm. There's so many others.
There's so many others, but those are well-known that you know. Don't say this.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at these tweets, too, from here, and that
doesn't look good. I know she didn't say the R-word, but she said she referred to Jules being
you're just giving
special,
a point. Right.
Special needs.
So in terms of John now driving to the Hamptons, completely different situation than Jules driving to the Hamptons. John is digging Ramona, saying that, you know, she's so cruel, you know, and she ended up being divorced at 60 with a boob job. Ooh. And you see Dorinda say nothing and say she wants to take a nap. You could tell, I think there's just a part of Dorinda that, like, is truly in love with having a companion. And I'm sure they have really good moments together, but it's like she's taking the good with the bad. And I'm just sure she's sick of fighting the fight. Like, every time, he probably says things like that all the time. It's like, how many times can she say stop?
But you then know? Why is she with him?
Exactly.
I don't understand, because I wouldn't do that. Planet. But I don't know. Isn't there a reason that people do this, like on Lifetime movies and stuff, that the girl keeps staying with the guy that's like not the good guy? Like,
it's better to be alone than with John. Like, I fear she's lonely.
She's lonely, yeah.
And there are 7 billion people on the planet. You can find someone who doesn't make you cringe. It's possible. I think he embarrasses her. I don't get why they're together.
Do you think she's scared to leave?
Yeah. I think she's afraid of being alone, but it's better to be alone than with someone.
Do you think she's scared of him, though, maybe? Like that?
No, I think he has a lot within him that's very unattractive in his personality, but I don't think he's that bad. But I don't think she should stay with him.
Yeah, I think there's a whole side to him we'll probably never see, but it's probably the good side that Dorinda sees, just because...
Yeah.
Which I wish we'd
maybe
see.
Yeah.
We have to just guess that with her being really a nice person, that she chose somebody that does have a side that we're probably not going to see, but there's a good side there. Mm-hmm. But I just think he doesn't like being... I think any man wouldn't like to feel like there's a woman that's like really successful that thinks they're kind of like a clown. It probably is the worst feeling in the world, and knowing that, like, Bethany is just like, take your stupid scarf off, and like the things that she says, and you know, and whatever, that's her right to feel how she feels. But I just think it's probably a real blow to a guy's ego, and it's like he doesn't know what to do. And then Ramona's saying stuff too. It's hard for a guy to feel like there's people in their girlfriend's life that are saying horrible things about them.
Mm-hmm. I just feel so horrible for Dorinda, because I feel like she's being put in such a hard spot. I don't think he's that bad of a guy, and I'm sure there's a lot of great stuff about him that we don't see, which is why she's staying with him. And I feel like I've been in a spot in college where I had this boyfriend I loved, and he didn't really like my girlfriends, so in turn, they didn't like, he was never around them, they didn't know him, then they thought they didn't like him because they didn't know him, and it's just a really hard spot to be in, so I just feel so horrible for her.
But he makes it worse by responding the way that he does then. He knows the cameras are on him. And I know that this gets ratings and this gets all of us excited because there's actually drama. But if you truly care about Dorinda, you'd want to be so different and not react that way and show her, I'm the good guy. And sit there and let Bethany say it, because it makes Bethany look bad then when she's needling him and antagonizing him and he doesn't respond. It makes it, if he sits there all smug, it doesn't make him look bad. We may go, oh, look at him looking all smug, but you can't say anything bad about him because he's not retaliating. He's not saying anything back. He's a smarter person for that, then.
Mm-hmm. If he were truly confident, he would have said anything.
Oh, of course. Yeah. He definitely is insecure, 100%. Yeah. But he also knows he's on TV and he needs to say something because he needs to upkeep, you know, being a man. Like, he has to look like he can't look like he's just gonna say nothing, because in his eyes, especially New Yorkers,
yes,
a little more macho, like he's got to fight back, and he can't fight back like when you would with a guy. So what can he do to really give her a low blow? It's like relationship or business. Those are the two things that are most important to her, one being a loss, one being a gain. So it's crazy. All right, so then we have Jules' Hampton house. Oh, my God. Jules' Hampton house is just insane.
Gorgeous.
Oh,
so beautiful.
It's not even done
so
yet.
Oh, my God, it's gorgeous.
I honestly didn't know they had this much money.
Me either.
Did you guys think that? I mean, her apartment is, I mean, I'm sure it's super expensive, but it's, what was it, the Leather District that she lives in New York? Is that what they called it?
Flatiron
District?
I forget where she's
Whatever it is, I don't know. If you know, if it's probably a very expensive area.
I feel anywhere in Manhattan's expensive.
Probably, yeah. But this house, I mean, I can't imagine how much this house is worth. And still being renovated. They're putting a pool inside.
Gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
The kitchen.
Oh, ridiculous.
Gorgeous.
and the Shabbat they did as our only Jew on the
no,
panel.
I'm Italian.
Oh, I thought you said you were Jewish too.
My husband's Jewish.
Okay, so how would he feel about this Shabbat?
Well, we're not like he's not that Jewish.
All right, well, Shabbat, whatever. Anybody who's Jewish, let us know. My best friend's Jewish. I'll ask her what she thinks of the orange soda
family moment.
What was it?
They
were like,
but they insist on
like
doing
Hawaiian punch or something.
Yeah, yeah. And the breadsticks in the bag.
That made me like Jules even more. I was like,
cute.
They're still going to do their family bonding, religious.
No matter what.
Lindsay
has a completely different opinion, and
I'm
she
not
would like
say anything else because I sound really negative today. I'm glad Megan likes her.
Right,
I'm glad.
I do.
Okay.
I'm not gonna. I can't.
That's
say
all right.
Anything
else. Okay. Don't say anything else. But
that makes a great pet. You're entitled to.
But
yeah.
P.S.
But
this
I
is
don't
why
have anything nice to say.
You're awesome because you have an opinion. Yeah. You say it, and we all have opinions. But you know what, Lindsay? Sometimes
I'm not gonna say.
Yeah,
this
it's
a little,
good.
Okay. So
I'm a strict Catholic.
Okay.
So I'll just leave it at that. That.
So you wouldn't make your own host and your own wine and bless it or whatever on your own, or is that what you're
saying? My mom would have said we would have gone to hell.
But I think if, when you're Jewish, I think like it's different. I think you can do it at home. I think that
no, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I see. I don't know what Shabbat means. So
I think you can. I think you can do that. And just praying anywhere. It doesn't matter where you pray. You just like talk to God or talk to Allah or talk to Buddha or talk to the stars. Whatever you.
It was a cute family moment.
It's cute.
It was funny. All right. At least they did it. So then we. So then Dorinda comes with John and she almost starts crying just talking about Ramona breaking her heart again. So sad, and. John, she says, Dorinda says, if you're nice to John, then you'll be okay with me. Otherwise, if you don't treat John good, you're not good with me.
We're done.
So that's her new motto. So I'll see how long that holds up. But I feel like that's always been her motto. It's just like she caves in sometimes because these girls do make points once in a while. And also, it's hard to fight Bethany. Mm-hmm. You're better off just kind of agreeing with her.
She caved to John.
Yeah,
but she has these little moments all season, since last season. We see her just kind of like... She just lets it go, which is great. That's a great quality to have. Just, you know what? I'm just going to let it go. It's not that big of a deal. At the end of the day, Ramona and her have a 20-year friendship. You know, her and John have a relationship. Let it go. Let the stuff, pick and choose your battles. But I feel like she just let this whole thing go with John, and all of a sudden, they're driving to the Hamptons, and they're fine, and I'm
right,
like...
Right, exactly. I'm like, what
did we miss a whole week?
Exactly. What happened in between the apartment fight and driving to the Hamptons? We never saw them.
She said she was done. She's like, I want to be alone.
It.
I don't know.
No scene where her and John are talking about it?
No, I mean, they obviously took it out. I don't know how the heck they got over it. I think they fell asleep, woke up, and forgot a lot of it. willingly so. You know, just wanted to forget about it.
Everything is better in the morning.
But I do believe...
plug for my book.
I do believe Dorinda, though. I do believe Dorinda truly knows what has gone down, but she is trying her best to... You know, hence saying, okay, like, if you're not good with John, you're not good with me. I think she's just trying to be strong and show people, like, this is it. Like, you cannot, don't bring him up at all. Because if she doesn't do that, then it's all going to be brought up over and over again, and she's going to have to continue to fight for him. Mm-hmm. And she knows it's really tough for her to do that because he's not giving her much to work with. Mm-hmm. He's crazy. He's going crazy sometimes. Mm-hmm. So then Bethany and Ramona are at dinner, and they're discussing Ramona's first time having sex, which is just so the comedic, like, light, that, you know, the scene that we needed because this was a really intense episode. And she says her first time having sex was with someone with a really small penis. And it was like, what'd she say? It was
a baby carrot.
And she says she thought it was karma because she was cheating on her boyfriend at the time, and this was karma. And then I think, did Bethany say she had the same situation once or twice or something like that?
Something like that.
Okay, so I want to know from anybody out there that's willing to share with us if you had a similar situation, because it's a girls' night and this is the stuff we discuss, and they give it to us, we have to bring it up. I've never experienced that. I don't know if anybody here wants to share if they've experienced that.
I've seen one. I thought it was funny. Ramona was like, even when it was hard. I'm like, yes, even when it was hard.
My whole family's watching,
I'm
not saying anything.
My parents don't watch, I'm good.
And my parents are asleep. So let's continue the conversation. No, I that was so funny. And just like the part of Ramona that we love, that just like the open, crazy, funny Ramona. It was epic. It's going down in history with, you know, don't be all uncool. That's like gonna be up there with that. But as they're talking, Dorinda walks in. And she, you know, and Ramona's like, are we good? Are we okay? And Dorinda's like, trying to, like, get the hummus or something, and she's trying to, like, ignore it. She's like, yeah, well, no, we're not. And I thought Dorinda was really going to take this opportunity to be like, listen, you were wrong. I shouldn't be sitting in the same room with you, blah, blah, blah. But she kind of caves in again. It's like, Ramon, I just think that Dorinda chases peace and harmony because she's gone through so much. And I think we're all guilty of this sometimes where we let people get away with things because it's just, it's easier.
Than fighting. Yeah.
But you do feel like shit afterward because you don't feel like you didn't give yourself the respect that you deserve. So do you feel that when Ramona said she was sorry, I felt like this was a much more genuine apology this time, but did you feel that Dorinda saying, okay, let's just put it under, you know, let's just forget about it, let's just move on, did you feel like that was genuine under Dorinda, or that she just wanted to let go and enjoy the night and try to have a good dinner?
I mean, I was glad. She definitely said her point when she said, if you guys aren't, you know, going to get along with John, then you're not good with me. And so I was glad she got that out. But she did kind of, you know, break and start crying and was like, oh.
Bethany, oh, go ahead, Lindsay.
20 years of friendship dictates that. Yeah. I think if they'd been friends for maybe a couple years, Dorinda may not have let it go so easily. Or may just have said, all right, fine, we'll just let it go. And not really cared about the friendship as a whole. But knowing there's 20 years of history here, that's real.
Yeah.
Even with what Ramona said, and it was out of line, if my best friend did that, I'd be really upset with her, and I'd address her and be like, this is not okay, but I love you, and this is so not, long run, end of a day, not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, she, it was just so crazy in so many levels, because Bethany's like, well, I thought you'd come in and apologize at least. And then after she brought up, then she gets the apology. So it's like, is that apology kind of empty at that point? When you have to remind someone to apologize to you for on behalf of somebody else, is it really an apology at that point? Dorinda did wholeheartedly apologize, but she needed to be told about that, which was, to me, a little bit insane. It just shows you where Dorinda's head. No, but it shows you where Dorinda's head was. It was not in, like, anybody there was the victim except, really, John and her. And they, I think all of them were victims, for sure. I mean, in different situations. Did you feel that Ramona learned this time that she cannot do something like this? Do you think that this was her, like...
Yeah, no.
No, so she'll do this again. Okay, all right.
Maybe not to Dorinda.
But to somebody
anytime
else.
Soon.
I'm, like, over here shaking my head like a dog, like, after a bath. Like, no.
It's just tough because you see Ramona, like, crying almost. Like, she feels so bad that she hurt Dorinda. But it's like, didn't you know this was going
to
happen?
She never learns her lesson. She says it to Sonia. Yeah. She says anything terrible and apologizes later. Just like when she was telling Bethany when they were walking across the bridge. Like, you'll never find a man. And if you do, you'll mess that up. Or, yes. No, with Jason. She's like, you're going to mess that up, too. Like,
Yeah. Yeah, I think I honestly believe she has a really good heart, but she just says the wrong stuff all the time. Yeah. All right, let's get into some predictions. Exciting.
Buzz TV prediction.
Sure.
We got that short. Okay.
Oh. Well, real quick.
All right. Let's do predictions.
Okay. Okay. Quick. Next week, John attempts to apologize to Bethany. Bethany probably doesn't take it. Carol Luann, have a fight. Bethany and Jules have a fight. And that was our prediction for next week. Very fast predictions.
Yeah, what she said. I'm excited for this, for Jules to put up with Bethany's ranting about her home and see if she, and what reaction she has. I hope she does stand up to her.
Yeah, I think she will.
Like, shut up about my nice house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I think she will.
She's probably jealous.
Okay.
I support Jules in that.
I'm so excited for next. This show is so exciting. Good. Wednesdays can't come soon enough. Hump day, everybody. The best day ever with my girls and you guys.
Our humps.
We should do that next week for the song. Where can we find you, Fern Ronay?
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Ronay. And my novel, Better in the Morning, comes out Tuesday. I can't believe it.
Oh, my gosh.
So follow me for release information.
Bring it next Wednesday.
This is Lindsay Wagner here. You guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wagner on my blog, lindsaywagner.blogspot.com, or magicthestory.com to hear the voiceover I did for Under the Silver Moon. It's out today.
Amazing.
And I'm going to plug Fern's book. If you're like a New York girl, a Carrie Bradshaw lover, read her book. It's about a single Manhattan girl. You're going to love it.
I love
Better in the Morning, available Tuesday. And you guys can tweet me, look me up on Instagram, or snap with me. It's all at Megan Stecker.
Amazing. I'm on Snapchat, and I'm Ashley Daniels. Periscope and Twitter are Ashley Daniels, and you will see us all next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.